We'll turn our attention to the reading of God's Word. I want to turn to John chapter 4 and start with verse 19. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and we say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Jesus clearly states that we, Jesus included, we the Jews, understand who we worship. We know what we worship. The title of today's sermon is, There is Only One God. In the time of the apostles, it is recorded in the scriptures that they dealt with many doctrines that were slowly creeping in and affecting the faith of some. Paul mentions that there were at least two fellows, Hymenaeus and Philetus, who were preaching that the resurrection had already occurred. There were many other teachings. Many of them were brought in because not everyone was fully converted. Many of the pagans that were brought into Christianity carried a little bit of some of their understanding of the gods into Christianity. Around 100 AD, there was a decision by some churches to put down the teachings of the apostles so that the churches would know what they were. If you were to look online, you could Google the Apostles' Creed and read a simple statement of faith that was intended just to portray what the apostles taught. In there we see that God is the Creator and that Jesus is His Son. Just a few years later, maybe 30, 40 years, we have a man named Tertullian who wrote a document that was expressing his thoughts as to how to explain God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, how they interacted one with another. And he coined a term in Latin called Trinitas, as we would know it today would be the Trinity. And from there we have Christianity taking Tertullian's thoughts and concepts and adopting them. And as time goes by, the pagan government that was in charge of the known world, the Roman government, converted to Christianity under the Emperor Constantine. He did not like the idea that there was many different understandings of who God is. So he, as a political move, decided to make a decision so that Christianity and his empire could be unified. He gathered about 318 bishops from the Roman Empire and decided they were going to sit down and solve this issue. Basically, take a vote as to what was going to be now considered the orthodox or correct teaching for the church. Well, he chose bishops that basically believed all one thing. He didn't really invite a broad selection of all the different understandings. He basically got one particular group, and it happened to be the group that believed in the Trinitas, or the Trinity. So they voted, and that was what has become today the Trinity, the known doctrine for most of the church. But what we want to do this morning is to simply look at what is it that Jesus and the Jews worshipped. We know what we worship. Is that the God of the Jews? Let's turn, if we would, to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and start in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, Jehovah our God is one Jehovah, and thou shalt love Jehovah thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Even today, this simple statement is something very important to Jews everywhere. This describes who their God is. It is something that they have written down and have inside those little boxes that they put on their foreheads, the little phylacteries they put on their arm that when they pray, they cross themselves so it is close to their heart. The concept that God is one. If you were to study the name of God, which is here in this text, it's in all capitals, capital L-O-R-D, that is Jehovah in the Hebrew. If you were to follow what the intended meaning of God's name is, you'd understand that it is the existing one, the one who exists, the one who has always existed. Psalm 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. God has always existed from the very beginning and continuing on for everlasting. However, the scriptures do not show that for His Son. His Son existed. Well, let's turn there. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll let the scriptures speak for themselves. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. For as much as ye see now that as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, receive the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Jesus was foreordained or foreknown before the foundation of the world, but did not exist until these last times. God had a plan from the very beginning and set that in motion, knowing that one day He would have a Son. We see from the scriptures that Jesus is the begotten Son. But if you read the creeds that come later on, you will understand that they say that Jesus is not created. But we clearly see from Luke chapter 1 that God, with His power, the power of the Most High, overshadowed Mary, and she conceived and brought forth a child, the only begotten, created from the womb. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 4. And we are going to read, starting with verse 35. Unto thee it was shown that thou mightest know that Jehovah, He is God, there is none else beside Him. Out of heaven He made thee to hear His voice, that He might instruct thee, and upon earth He showed thee His great fire, and thou heardest His words out of the midst of the fire. God wants it known to His people that He is God and there is none else beside Him. When you read about and study about the gods of the nations during the time that the Israelites came into the land and God said, have no part with them. Don't marry their daughters and their sons. They will turn your hearts unto other gods. we find that the teachings of those nations developed in such a way that they compare a whole lot to the doctrine of the Trinity. The word Trinity is not found anywhere in the Scriptures. The concept of the Trinity is not found anywhere in the Scriptures. It is only stated by those who believe it that it is implied. It isn't an obvious understanding. We're going to go through some Scriptures that show simple concepts of who God is. These nations believed in a triad of gods. It usually consisted of a supreme deity, the Father, another supreme deity, which was the queen or the wife, and another supreme deity, which was the son. And in many cases, the son and the father were the same God. It is interesting that the concept that is not found in the Scriptures patterns so much like these pagan gods of the Old Testament. Let's go from here to Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Thou, even thou, art Jehovah alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein. Thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. God is God alone. Jehovah is the creator of all things. What we find in these other teachings is that Jesus becomes the creator. But according to the God of the Jews, the God of Jesus, Jehovah is the creator. And we can also find from the words of Jesus in Mark 13 that he agrees with this. In Mark chapter 13, in verse 19, for in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. Jesus did not take credit for creation. He applied that to God himself, to his Father. We do find that there are texts like Colossians 1, 15 through 17, where it mentions that Jesus is the firstborn of all creation. If you continue reading, you'll find that he is the firstborn of all creation and that he is the firstborn from the dead. That text is usually used to show that Jesus existed before he was born from the womb. But they also say that Jesus is the creator. And I say, how can you be the firstborn of all creation and the creator all in one breath? Jesus is the firstborn of all creation, that he has the preeminence, the first one who was ever created perfect, raised from the dead to a life that does not end. Turn to Malachi chapter 2 and verse 10. And the prophet Malachi says, have we not all one Father? Have not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers? There is no doubt that there was only one Father, one Creator, that's what the Jews understood. Elijah had a situation on his hands where he felt that he was the only one that was the follower or upholder of the truth concerning who Jehovah was. And he himself went up against the prophets of Baal to prove who was the one and only God. We find this story in 1 Kings 18. And we're going to select a single verse out of here. In verse 21, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If Jehovah be God, follow him. but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Baal was the God of heaven. Baal was the one who provided. Baal was the one who gave the rain so the crops would grow. Does that sound much different than Jehovah? What is the difference then? The scriptures tells us that God is a jealous God, that you cannot ascribe anything to any other God. It'd be as if you were at work and you did all these things for the company or your boss, and somebody else stood up and said, I did those things. How would you feel? God does not like it when anybody or anything or anyone ascribes to something his attributes, his position, his authority. We must choose the God of the Bible versus any other God, regardless of how many people believe it. Elijah was up against 450 prophets, but I believe there was also 400 other prophets there. I think it's a total of 850. You have to check me out on that. One man against all of them. Are we willing to believe the God of the Scriptures as Elijah? Isaiah 42 in verse 8. I am Jehovah, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. God will not stand for anything that is false or anything that takes his place. We even know that the Apostle Paul says covetousness is as idolatry, because that too replaces God. The things, the cars, the boat, the snowmobiles, whatever it may be, can absorb all of our time that we do not even think of God, let alone replacing him with another God. Let's turn over a few chapters to Isaiah 44 and start at verse 6. Thus saith Jehovah, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, Jehovah of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. The word God here is Elohim, which means mighty one or mighty ones. There is no other mighty one besides Jehovah. There was no queen of heaven. There is no God of the sea. There is no God of the forest. There is no God of any other thing. There is only Jehovah. If we look at the doctrine of the Trinity, we see that when you change who God is, there is more that changes. The gospel message changes. What the kingdom is, where the kingdom is, that all changes. Laws and commandments that God and Jesus give to us, those change as well. The reward of the righteous, the reward and punishment of the wicked, that all changes. Prayer for and to the dead. In essence, that gives us all the little gods that used to be present in the pagan pantheon. Praying to the dead or praying to an elevated dead person is praying to other gods. Not much different than what they we're dealing with the Canaanites and their worship of Baal and the Baals. And also the worshiping of images and icons. One of the most common images that we see is that of the cross. Some of us, we do not aren't around these things as much and do not recognize it, and it may seem something trivial, but the cross itself is actually worshipped as something that has power to it. It is kissed. It is prayed to. It is adored. And it is worn as a talisman. These things should remind us of the words in Titus, where it says, they profess they know God, but in works they deny Him, because so much changes. Let's go to Isaiah 45. We'll just turn the page. And at verse 5, I am Jehovah, there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun from the west that there is none beside me. I am Jehovah, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, Jehovah, do all these things. In verse 12, I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. There should be at this point little doubt at who the God of the Old Testament is. He shares His name and His position with no other. There is only one. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 4, the temptation of Jesus. In verse 8, again the devil taketh Him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth Him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto Him, all these things I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now how is Satan promising to give Jesus the kingdoms of the world if Jesus already possesses them? Well, let's see what Jesus says. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. That is the God of Jesus. That is the God of the Jews. Jesus didn't say, Satan, bow down and worship me. He said, worship Jehovah God, the God of the Old Testament. Him only shall you serve. We turn over to John chapter 20. In verse 17, Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Yes, Jesus had a God. Your God and my God. Him only were you going to serve. We do have texts as John 10, we can turn to John 10, that are used to point to the idea that God and Jesus are the same individual. But let's examine this to see if this is the case. Start in verse 30. I and my Father are one. If we stop there, just to digest that, we will not do justice to being a Bible student or rightly dividing the word of truth. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law that ye said that I said ye are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified, sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God? Jesus never, ever, in all of the Scriptures, claims to be God Himself. He claimed to be the Son of God, which does give Him authority. If you have a work or a business, and your son grows up it is most likely that he is the heir of that business, of the Father's work. So to say that you are a son shows that you have authority as a son, making you somewhat equal with the Father because he gives you authority. And Jesus only claims to show the works of his Father. In verse 37, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. So how would we understand that the Father and Jesus are one? The Father is in me and I in him. Let's turn to John chapter 14, a few verses, a few chapters over, and start at verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. And let's go down to verse 20. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Does the Christian believer then become a part of God? Should we consider ourselves God? What does it mean to be, I am in the Father, ye in me, and I in you? That means we are all doing the works, the same works, working together in the same business. These are simple concepts, but if we want to twist these things around, we can. But we have to ignore the God of the Jews, the God of the Old Testament, the God that Jesus and the rest of the Jews knew who they were worshiping. 1 Corinthians 15, and we will read at verse 27. For he, God, hath put all things under his, Jesus' feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest, or made known, that he is accepted or made an exception, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him, that God may be all in all. You see, the Son might have been given authority by the Father, but the Son is still always in subjection to the Father, just as we are. We share the same God as Jesus. Turn to Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of Jehovah as waters cover the sea. Eventually, there is a time coming that all upon the earth will know who Jehovah is, who he really is. That time is not now. And much like Elijah, we are in a position where we must stand firm with what the truth of the Scriptures are. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, starting at verse 4. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other but one, none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, But to us there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in Him, and the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. There is only one God, and regardless of what we find in the world today, whether it is Buddha, Brahma, Baal, or whatever the false gods may be, we must stick with what we know to be true, and that is the God of the Scriptures. So for us, there is but only one God, and His name is Jehovah. Jehovah alone. Let's remember these things as we go throughout this week, that we are in a time and in a world where we are a minority when it comes to understanding who God is. So let's have a song.
Let's stand, please.
This time to gather together to worship You and to worship Your Son and to worship the things You have set forth and have promised to us and promised to them that know You and search out Your truths. We pray, Lord, that You will watch over us each and every day and that You'll provide for our many needs, that You'll forgive us for our sins and that You will bring us into the kingdom of Your Son, and that You will help us to be found faithful when He returns. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.